We are discussing. What are we discussing?
Three iron.
Present are Rudy,
Lenore,
Jane,
Richard,
Steve,
George,
and Mark.
You were saying?
You just want to.
I'll put this on before the tape, but I just want you to know it didn't open in Portland until Friday night. I came down here Friday morning, and I stay in Berkeley, and it wasn't showing in Berkeley anymore. Neither film. They're both at the Opera Plaza. And so I had to take the BART and the bus, and blah, 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 blah. So I only saw one.
This one.
Right.
Playing out of Stonestown, too, I believe. It's kind of weird.
We're out of the way for Lenore.
And so.
Yeah, that's where I saw it. There were like five people in the audience.
Same with us.
There were about seven when I...
Yeah, but Stonestown's a big theater. It was bizarre.
I saw it Cecily with my girlfriend, and we were the only two in the theater.
Why? Wow, you're kidding.
Yeah, that film wouldn't go over big.
When I went to go see Ray, I was the only one at the Metro Theater for the whole show.
You're kidding. Oh, Ray. Really?
Ray Charles, yeah.
Really?
Isn't
that an Academy Award thing?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Midweek matinee, the first showing. The only one who showed up.
It was weird being the one.
Good thing I didn't go see a horror film.
Well, I went to go see Winter Solstice. There was me and then somebody else came in.
Wow.
Two of us.
Wow.
Well, this is an interesting pick. That was a really unique film. It held my interest throughout, and it was interesting. I liked it.
Very quirky.
The guy didn't have one word of dialogue. I think she had two lines.
He said some things. He and she say nothing to each other as far as I can remember in their entire relationship.
No, she told him, "I love you," at the end of the film. The husband thought she was saying it to him,
but
she realized that she was saying it.
And he may not even be alive at that point. Which we can talk about.
No, he was there.
Yeah, sure he was.
Oh, God. Yeah, sure.
Oh.
If he has no reflection in the mirror.
And no weight on the scale.
Because he moved out of the way. Well, that's because she fixed the scale, remember?
To zero?
Yeah. Remember she was monkeying with the scale?
That is true.
At the end of the film?
Mm-hmm.
I think he was dead. You think he was...
Yeah. Okay, are we getting ahead of ourselves?
Yes, we are.
Okay, scene one.
I thought he looked like some kind of Elvis or James Dean or something.
He's pretty good looking.
He is, I think he's a singer.
Mm-hmm. But didn't he have that kind of affectation? I mean, that kind of
my Korean student says he's a very popular guy among all the girls her age.
Oh,
sure. You can
see why. Yeah, so look at. Okay, fine. Go to the end of the film. I don't care.
The one thing I questioned was, I thought was kind of odd, was all these homes he broke into, the answering machines always says, we're abroad, we're away on vacation. Like, we don't do that here. Maybe in Korea, but not in the U.S.
But you got...
I do.
Why he...
You do? Mm-hmm. Really?
What was odd for you about that?
I mean, that's just like an open invitation telling people, my house is vacant. Come steal everything I own.
Yeah, but if your telephone's not connected to your address, who's going to know?
Right, which line is it?
Well, except your friends that are calling you. No, George has gone this week. Let's go over to Rob's house.
I mean, people...
What's your channel lesson?
People leave messages on their phones saying that we're not even available. In fact, they even instruct people here to tell them, don't tell people that you're not home.
Mm-hmm.
I just think... It's a whole different thing in Korea, I'm sure.
I'm sure that it's safer over there than it is here.
It's just kind of odd. So different from...
I wish I knew why he broke into homes. I feel I need to know that. And that might help me understand the movie better. I think it was just some kind of release for him to do what he was doing. It was his way of coping with the world, I think, of doing what he did. I mean, he had a college degree and obviously probably could have got some job, made a lot of money, but this is what he chose to do.
had a nice motorcycle.
A $10,000 motorcycle.
Where did he live? Does anyone know?
I think he did what he did, and he was homeless probably.
So he stayed overnight at these
places. That's kind of what I would assume.
Right.
Well, and he also did their laundry.
Yeah.
And he fixed whatever was broken, little mechanical things.
He arranged things, let them know that somebody was there.
Mm. I thought maybe he did it because, I mean, obviously that's open to speculation, but I thought maybe he was isolated, and it was his way of trying to connect.
Yeah, and that kind of an answer helps me, and so I started to conjure up those kinds of.
And true, with him taking pictures with the family of himself and with the family of the people he broke in with, he always would
that's
do that.
True. Mm-hmm.
Kind of like that Wong Kar Wai movie.
Which one?
In the Mood for
Love?
The one with the airline stewardess.
I didn't see
that one. Yeah. Guy breaks into the airline stewardess apartment. But anyway, I thought when I was watching this film, I questioned, like Richard, why is he doing this? And then when I see him doing people's wash, I'm thinking, well, he's a little bit wacko, you know. and then this woman who's obviously distressed is not in a right frame of mind, and I could see her taking up with the wacko. And doing his thing, because her life is not what she wanted it to be, obviously. But there were so many things that were just like, is this an allegory, or is this supposed to be reality? Is this a real story, or is this some kind of thing that is fantasy kind of thing?
A myth.
I couldn't figure out where this film was coming from. At the end, I kind of felt like, we should have gone more in one direction so I'd have known how to take it, but I didn't know how to take it. Not that knowing how to take it is important, or knowing whether he's alive or dead, for instance, is important, but we should have gone more one way or the other. You know what I mean?
One thing I like about this film and the other film this guy made is he brings a spiritualism into his films that I really like. Because I think he did the same with Spring, Summer, Fall, Winter. And it was kind of the same kind of mood to me, in a way. The spiritualism that he brings into his films, I think is really interesting of what he does.
Can you say something more about the spiritualism in this film?
Just the non-connectedness these people have in his films to the world, in a way.
Now that you put it in that frame of reference, I forgot that he's director of Spring, Summer, Winter. And in that film, it was also the same way, where it was kind of like reality, but it was allegory, but it was like, it was fantasy all in one, and that worked well in that movie, and I really liked that movie for that, because it was so nefarious. But this I guess just the setting made me kind of just didn't jive with me.
But I agree, it worked better in his first film, but I still like this one and how it worked too.
Well, in answer to what you're saying, the reviewer Stein says here, the sooner you let yourself go with the flow and stop trying to make sense of it all, the more likely you are to come away satisfied. I kept that in mind when I saw the film.
But you can say that about any film, then. Just don't worry about it. Just watch it and enjoy it.
Yeah, but this film particularly.
Well, maybe partly what you're talking about, or maybe it touches on the question of genre. It's like, well, you don't know what to expect. It's like if you're in a particular genre, you have a certain map, this, and this kind of doesn't really relate to any.
Well, just Steve's comment as to what he directed, maybe it's his own genre. Mm-hmm. And now I could understand, you know, and I could accept the film all a lot more if I had gone into it with that. If I would have remembered that he also directed that and how I felt about that film.
I was intrigued enough that I just kind of went along for the ride. I just was like, mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't have any particular, I don't remember anyway having any particular like,
what about when once he's in jail and he starts doing things like climbing the wall, then he's on the ceiling, and then he disappears, and you know, and there was some logical thing where at some point the policeman who has begun to hate him drags him away, and then after that he's never in the, doesn't seem like he's physically in the world anymore, except that he appears to the woman. But maybe he's a ghost by then.
Maybe, maybe not. Well, the guy kept saying, "To the next time I come in here, I'm going to kill you."
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I want to believe he was still alive. That's what I would believe.
Definitely was like a real. I don't know. Huge shift in the narrative flow after the arrest, and then she's sent home. It's like, now what?
When she's sent home?
Yeah, when her husband comes to get her.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, because, you know, you're kind of going out. I mean, there was this continuity of going into the homes and doing the stuff, and then, mm-hmm. you know, she came along and they got involved, and then they did it some more, and then all of a sudden it's like.
Well, I kind of had a little problem of why he ended up in jail, because in one scene, the cop is telling him, "Oh, you're free to go."
Mm-hmm.
And then in the next scene, the husband's paying the cop off, saying, "Okay, go ahead and do what you want with this guy."
Mm-hmm.
And they drive him up there and dump him out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy hits golf balls at him and then tries to strangle the cop. And I could see he ends up in jail then, but he would have been gone from the police station to me if the cop said, "Okay, you're free to go." It's like the time lapse, well, time lapse in this movie, period. But the time lapse of, like, the woman goes back to her husband, and then the husband has time to think of, "I want to get this guy again, and my wife is still in love with this guy, and damaged, ruined my wife, and all this kind of stuff, and he wants to plot revenge." I would have thought he would be gone from the police station already by then.
Mm-hmm.
If he was free to go.
Yeah.
Well, he had, before that they got busted by the police, there was that scene where he's golfing at night in the street, hits a golf bar ball, and maybe kills that woman.
Oh, yeah.
We never know. And so that kind of happened just before they got busted.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of like made me, it kind of made me realize that he's willing to give up his life at that point, or what was his life at that point, and willing to go along with whatever consequences because of what he had just done.
Okay.
And so that whatever he did or didn't do to protect himself or to protect his life at that point, I was willing to accept because of, you know, that incident.
And there was another instance when they found the old guy dead. And then the son calls. I don't know why they stayed there. To me, if the son called and some stranger picked up the phone, wouldn't you think they're going to come over and check who's the stranger in my father's house?
Well, in the opening scene where he comes into the woman's house, and the husband calls and says, "Pick up," I thought for sure he would know that there's someone else in the house. The husband is asking someone else to pick up.
Yeah, yeah.
And the husband actually calls twice to speak to his wife, and that makes sense. Why he would stick around if there's obviously someone else in the house.
I don't know if it'd be that obvious. He might say pick up. He might expect her to be at home, but
maybe she wasn't. Maybe she wasn't.
Yeah, but obviously that she wasn't on a trip. You know, his whole gig was to find places where people were out on a vacation or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And why would he go into a place that somebody might be out just for the day?
Yeah, right.
Shopping or something like that.
Yeah, well, that's why I didn't think of that.
Yeah, that's this whole premise of putting a flyer on there in the morning and then coming back in the evening and seeing if the flyer was still there. It's like, the person could have been homesick and just never left the house all day or something.
Was it supposed to be the same day?
It seemed like it was the same day. It seemed like they were back.
It might have been the next day.
A couple cases, I think it was the same day. A couple cases, I think it was the next day.
Well, anyway, I didn't have that big of a problem with it, because for me, the film was kind of... I guess it did feel kind of mythical or just kind of surreal. Kind of had a surreal feeling to it, so I didn't hold it to those same standards. Like, oh, well, so, you know, I was kind of willing to go with it, because it just felt like that kind of film. The fact that they never spoke to each other. I mean, that in itself is so unrealistic. So it was just kind of surreal. It's like, okay.
That scene where the golf ball hit the girl in the head. And since he wasn't really a bad person, kind of odd, I wondered what he was going to do, and he didn't do anything.
Yeah. He's almost autistic.
Pardon?
He's almost like he was autistic or something.
Although he felt bad about it, he didn't fess up to it, which kind of bothered me.
But then what would it have accomplished if he did with an accident? I mean, what?
Yeah, but...
Yeah, he's responsible, though.
Yeah.
Well, I thought he would at least run over and say, is she okay?
Yeah,
can he get help?
Or? That's, I mean, autistic. Like he didn't even say anything.
With Jack, he wasn't really completely part of the world or part of this world, right? I mean, he's sort of very marginal, living a kind of marginal life, and the woman isn't fully in the world either, in her own way.
They were a perfect pair.
Perfect pair, and then once they get together, they become like these children, you know? There's a childlike quality to them, even though, yes, they, I guess they eventually have a sexual relationship, but, you know, it's like they're these two babes in the woods or something, wandering around. And
kind of comparing the two films, I had more believable that these two fell in love with each other and never spoke a word to each other than the two in the first film in Don't Move, that they fell in love with each other and they said a lot to each other.
What do you make of that scene where the girl goes into the house where they had probably first made love, a beautiful home.
Sits on the couch.
Yeah.
Lies down on the couch.
And the owner of the house says, so let her be. That was kind of odd that they don't know her from Adam. And this strange woman comes to the house, lies on their couch, the wife comes home and says, who's she? And says, just let her sleep. That seems...
It's a whole different culture, It's a whole different culture.
Yeah. It's all part of the movie you have to kind of go along with.
The scene with that couple and the other couple, the boxer couple.
Which
where,
couple?
The boxer couple.
Boxer.
Where there's obviously some tension about whether or not the boxer is seeing another woman. Remember at the end of the movie that the wife gets these calls from this woman and she thinks it's her husband or boyfriend's lover. But the interaction between those two is contrasted with the other couple, where when that woman comes home and she sees another woman sitting in her couch, at first there she gives her husband one look that says, "Is that your girlfriend?" And she was willing to accept what her husband said. That, I mean, her husband didn't say, "No, it's not my girlfriend," but her husband just said, "Just leave her be." So I thought that was kind of really interesting to compare how this couple trusted each other. And even though she came home and found a strange woman laying down in her couch, she was perfectly willing to accept whatever her husband said this woman was about. And yet there was this other thing with this other couple where she obviously mistrusted her husband, maybe for good reason, we don't know. But then there's the relationship between the main character, the woman, and her husband, and how he feels cuckolded by this other guy.
Well, if people believe he is dead at the end of the movie, to me that would be the point that she realizes he is dead, because she got dressed in the black dress and went to that place. And I think that was the place where their intimacy first started, when they played footsies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so she wanted to go back there just to kind of maybe feel his presence again or whatever.
Yeah, I did notice the black dress.
Yeah, and I'm sure there was a reason for the black dress.
But remember also the husband liked her dress like that. She was in a black dress at the beginning, and then the boy has her put on the pink dress, and the husband comes home and says, I told you not to, I don't like you to wear that.
Yeah, but that was his choice for her to put on that dress, and the black dress was her choice.
Hmm. I don't know if the husband liked the black dress, though.
No, I don't know either. He was just pissed off that she went somewhere without telling him.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think she was okay remaining with her husband, knowing that her
ghost lover
was going to be around as a ghost, that she would put up with that?
They like her.
Well, just remember Doña Flor.
Yeah, but she didn't have an abusive husband. She had a husband who died.
Yeah, but he died going with other women and doing other things.
But she still loved him.
But he dies and she has a husband she doesn't love. And lives with a husband she doesn't love. And walks around with a husband she loved going to bed with.
But the new husband doesn't abuse her either.
Well, they're not identical, but yeah, I mean, she's with a ghost and a real life husband.
Did you see that?
Long time ago. I read the book. But, yeah, I felt that that's what was going on for her at the end. She sort of, it's as if somehow her husband is the physical presence, but the lover, ghost lover, can come and inhabit him for her in some form.
Yeah, it seemed like she's falling towards her husband at the end.
Well, it's because she's really kissing the lover.
Mm-hmm. I know, but it also felt like, but it still felt like there was kind of a, I mean, because she could have this wonderful relationship with this boy, ghost lover, whatever. I mean, when you're in love, you do get softer, you know, so she seemed like, didn't make her husband any less of a jerk, but she was less reactive about it. It was kind of like, oh well, I got what I want, so.
Odd movie.
The one thing this movie lacked was a good title. I thought probably if it had a better title, there might have been more people in the theater to see it, at least initially when it first started playing here in San Francisco. That I think if the title had, I don't know, it could have been anything but 3 hours.
Well, Ghost was already taken. Ghost 2, the Korean Ghost.
Yeah, it was an odd title, though.
Yeah. People probably think it's about golf.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, right.
What about that thing where he's he's in the cell and he's hitting the cop or the guard with the golf balls? That was weird. That really took a suspension of disbelief.
In the cell?
He was golfing. He was play golfing.
He was play golfing.
No, but there's a later scene after that. Remember? Because you don't see him, but you see the golf balls ricocheting around the corner. But that wasn't in the prison.
No,
that was in the apartment.
That's when he was getting back at the police officer.
Yeah, he was released from the
interrogator.
I thought that was clever the way that.
But where
the balls got him around the corner.
I thought the parking lot. Like an underground parking lot.
Right, yeah, in the parking lot.
Yeah, because remember the car came through.
Well, he was his ghost already, I think. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I don't see him. Question that if he was a ghost, he still was able to manipulate objects in the real
world.
Poltergeist! Japanese poltergeist. I mean, Korean. Well, it's
a one-of-a-kind film.
Different from any other.
It'll be real interesting to see what he does next.
Yeah.
Oh, I was wondering, does he have other films out? I mean, has made others besides these two we know of?
That may not have been released here.
Right.
We have somebody at work who's Korean and she knows his other films. She might know because I think she sees Korean films that probably ranch that we would never ever see. I'll ask her.
I just enjoyed it because it was unique. Quirky and, you know, engaging enough to keep me in it.
And it's interesting how well it moved along with so little or no dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
Or some of these other films can talk you to death and you're snoring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was refreshing.
Well, it was interesting just to go into other people's houses, you know, as he was, and
mm-hmm.
watch what he found and watch whether or not he'd be caught in the mm-hmm. houses and what he would do if he was.
Kind of compounded voyeurism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So where along the film do you think he died from the police?
When he walked out of the...
When the two guards had
dragged him away.
And they didn't show anything of what happened to him after that.
But the scene, he's walking into this white light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he went from the dark passage mm-hmm. into this white light.
It's always a white light.
Just once, I want to see a black light.
Don't go into the light. A neon light would be nice.
I like that. Don't go into the light. It's a good one.
There was a printout at work. It was kind of like a joke sheet of things nurses say to patients and all their interactions. But it was a big joke. And one of the things was whispering to the patient, go into the light, go into the light. I mean, to difficult patients who were giving this.
Oh, my God.
Did they get arrested for that?
And they say some of the other things. It was just like two pages of these real crazy one-liners. One of them said, you've really been a nurse too long, or you're eating popcorn out of a bedpan. Anybody seen anything else?
Done.
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 Saw the Enron film.
You saw it.
I saw it.
Would you recommend the Enron?
Very much. Yeah.